is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Edinburgh, Scotland, Simon Constable, correspondent for Wall Street Journal, Barron's, other distinguished publications, is also a resident of Edinburgh, with COP26 headed to Scotland, Glasgow. But Edinburgh will be part of the mix because of the need for people to stay in hotels, and there is not enough hotel space or residential space or Airbnb in Glasgow for the large expected audience, global audience. The chief international guest will be the President of the United States, who will be staying in Edinburgh. It is an hour commute between Edinburgh and Glasgow, even faster if you have a motorcade with the police pushing traffic out of your way. So it's very convenient. The Queen was to stay in Edinburgh as well. However, Her Majesty has chosen to stay in London because of health concerns, and therefore the President will be in Edinburgh. I'm sure traffic will be challenged, as it always is when there's a presidential or world leader motorcade. Xi Jinping will not be attending. That does lighten the load a little bit on the motorways. Nor will Vladimir Putin be attending. He has health concerns as well. However, it will be hosted by Boris Johnson, and we can expect major world leaders from the EU and around the world to attend. Large groups. This is a gathering of eagles and doves to display their ambitions these next years for climate change. We begin, however, with the climate in Edinburgh. I'll start with the weather that it can be expected for the arriving celebrants and participants in COP26. Simon, a very good day to you. It is Scotland, therefore the weather changes hourly. What can we expect for the weather right now for you in Edinburgh and for the COP26 attendance in Glasgow? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Well, you'll be pleased to know that it actually isn't raining at this very minute, although it will be shortly. And I think that's really sums up kind of what you said about the weather here. It changes every hour. The Met Office, the Meteorological Office of the British government, has put out a warning that we could be getting some torrential rain in the Borders area, which is just south of Edinburgh and Glasgow. It borders with the border with England, and that could cause some severe flooding, and there's also going to be some really high winds there. I think that's going to continue basically over to next week with high winds and wetness, extreme Scottish style wetness, over to next week. More rain, more showers. It won't be cold though. We're talking about 50 Fahrenheit, about 10 degrees Celsius. So that'll be pretty interesting. There will not be a lot of problems for the COP26 conference, because most of those events will be inside. However, that will affect anybody who is protesting the lack of action on climate change.
We come to Edinburgh and the virus, because this affair is taking place in the midst of a pandemic. For example, the EU, I believe, has told its membership that there will not be large gatherings, a.k.a. parties, because they're trying to avoid afterward people getting ill. There are many distinguished guests attending. However, Edinburgh itself needs to attend to its virus with all these people from around the world coming in. Simon, the BBC is featuring a story that there's disappointment with the vaccination app, the proof of vaccination in Edinburgh, especially among revelers in the evening. What's happened?
Okay, well, if you want to go to a nightclub, a place where there will be lots of drinking and lots of dancing and reveling and people getting close to each other, then you will need a vaccine passport. It's basically just an app that says you've been vaccinated twice, as is the norm in the UK, if you're vaccinated at all. And a lot of people didn't get the app, and they showed up to these nightclubs and were refused entry. About 550 people were turned away. And that's caused a heck of a lot of problems for nightclubs. A lot of them are deciding to shut down, or at least not open. I don't mean close down completely, but not open for the time being, because their customer base is down by about 40%. And that makes it a lot less profitable. Now, this hasn't affected me because I tend not to go to nightclubs, so I can still go out for a drink and not require a passport to go into a pub or a restaurant or all the rest of it. But it's not good for the nighttime trade, and they're pretty unhappy about it.
Let's talk about the daytime trade. Is traffic return, foot traffic and motor traffic, to normal or near normal in Edinburgh after the lockdowns of these last many months? And how about people going back to the office? What do you see, Simon?
People are going back to the office. A lot of people are spending a bit of time at home and a bit of time in the office. So we're seeing that pretty much everywhere you look, people are doing that sort of hybrid thing now. So on the work front, that's happening. People are back to going to a defined workplace. There are people walking around the streets, going shopping, and all the rest of it. And that is all very good. What is missing is tourists. And Edinburgh has long been a destination for a lot of tourists from around the world, to the extent that the streets in the center of town are pretty much clogged most of the time, except they haven't been in the last 18 months. So I don't want to say we're back to completely normal, but it's near normal in that the locals, and I guess that would include me, able to walk around and are doing fairly normal things, getting cups of coffee, going for drinks and meals, and that's good. So we're getting there. We're just not quite there yet.
Energy. There is an energy concern throughout all of Europe having to do with the winter is coming. You said your temperatures are moderating in Scotland. However, there's an energy shortage in all of Great Britain. There's also been petrol shortage as the stations switch from one kind of petrol to a greener petrol. So, first of all, there is a report that the natural gas fields, or some of them in the North Sea, have been reopened. That would be north of you, out of Inverness. Is that correct, Simon?
Out of Aberdeen. Aberdeen, the Granite City, considerably further north than where I am now, and it's on the east coast. And if you go into the North Sea between Scotland and Norway, there are these gas fields, natural gas fields, which also contain a bit of oil too. And yes, there's a lot of oil, gas fields being reopened or started for the first time, depending on which one. So Shell has a gas field in Arran, and it's looking at being able to produce or starting actually to produce 100 million cubic feet of natural gas a day, which is really phenomenal, and that would do us a lot of good here in the UK. Anything that could be done to bring down the price just a little bit would be great. And there are other fields too. There's NEO Energy as a field, and then there's Serica Energy's Columbus development, and one is about to come on, and again, millions more cubic feet of natural gas could be coming to us. That's really important because most properties in Scotland are heated by natural gas, and we need it.
I mentioned that my time in Edinburgh taught me that when it gets cold in Edinburgh, it doesn't need to be freezing. 45 or 50 degrees can make you cold because of the dam. So natural gas is a good thing. Now we turn to what we know is COP26 upon us. Simon, the presentation that I read in all the news reports is that Nicola Sturgeon, your first minister, seeking to get involved using the SNP, the Scottish National Party, to sponsor youth conferences or United Nations member states with cities to gather together or developing nations coming together. This is Nicola Sturgeon at her best, taking an opportunity to be the host, as Boris Johnson is being the host for all of the United Kingdom. Is COP26, is this all popular in Scotland? Does it get a lot of good media to have the First Minister involved, at least in a welcoming fashion?
So It's a very interesting thing what Nicola Sturgeon's doing here. Yes, the COP26 meeting, the conference, is tremendously popular in Scotland. People are very much in favour of protecting the environment. Most of the country seems to lean left of centre at the very least, and so that will be seen as a very good thing. And most Scots, I think, and most Scottish residents will be proud that the country is hosting this event. What's interesting here is, as you pointed out, Nicola Sturgeon isn't able to be the host of the COP26 event because she is not the head of state. Although she is the First Minister of Scotland, the state is the United Kingdom, and the head of state will be the Queen. She's not coming because of illness, but it'll be her designate, which is Boris Johnson. Nicola Sturgeon obviously wants to gain on the act because this is a massive amount of publicity, but she has a number of problems, as you mentioned, one of which is she didn't meet her carbon targets, i.e. reducing carbon emissions on a according to a set schedule. She didn't meet those, and so that's a bit of a black eye for her. And then, of course, she's not she's not the Prime Minister of the UK, so she won't be able to introduce people. And now wants to get this publicity. This is very interesting, and it looks like a grab for publicity in a way that just seems to me a little bit undignified. Nevertheless, I'm sure she'll do it, and I'm sure she'll do a great job.
Simon Constable, Edinburgh, Scotland. We're going to go to Glasgow next and turn to what we can expect, including the spectacularly operatic Extinction Rebellion and a subset called Animal Rebellion, all planning to be in attendance along with the world leaders for the next days or weeks. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.